You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Tent-like contraption that is over here on the Green Bay sideline. I'm not sure what exactly is going on in there, if he's receiving treatment, if he's using the bathroom. It's just unclear at this point, but he went in there.
What's in the box?
Reach the eye. Guess
who's back? So I think that's the logical explanation.
Let's just, you know, say that didn't happen.
It was a return to greatness. It was a return to form.
It's crazy. And he just kind of flew under the radar.
Get this out there so I sound good on Jesus Radio.
Yeah.
No negativity allowed, sir.
So I think that's actually going to be really exciting to watch. I don't think there's anything positive we can say. There's a lot.
Oh, right? Oh, you were looking for positive.
Yeah. I guess that's what I meant. Positive, I think.
All right, Green Bay Packer fans, welcome to Cheesehead Radio. We're back, and we're doing a show after a win. This is great. This is slightly new. It's unfamiliar territory, but I think we have it under control. I think we remember how to do this, and what a great win it was. A lot of stuff to talk about tonight on the show, but we're really, really excited to welcome our very special guest. His name's going to be Bart Winkler. You can hear him as the better half of Chuck and Winkler over here. And if you live in the area, you got 105.7 The Fan. That is the sports station in the Green Bay area. Certainly give that a listen to. You can also hear it live online at any point in time. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Network this year, our fine friends at Ticket King. They've been selling Packers badges and tickets in Wisconsin for about 25 years. They've earned a reputation for excellent customer service and prices. Be sure to check out their website at theticketking.com. Fantastic. We have a 10% off deal. You know what? I want to go to the game on Sunday. I'm really excited. I may just use this. Go on there. Use the code PackersTalk. All one word. You get a 10% discount on Packers tickets. My name, C.D. Angeli. You can catch my stuff over at PackersTalk.com. And I'm joined by the lovely Michelle Bruton of Cheesehead TV. How are you doing tonight, Michelle?
I'm feeling good after a win. I think, you know, that's all I can say.
Well, hopefully you say more because we have an hour show. Joining us a little bit later will be the amazing Jersey Al Bracco of Cheesehead TV and Packers Talk. Jamie Snowden is not joining us tonight. We wish her the best and hope she is back soon. But as of right now, it's time for your Packer News.
Packers News.
All right, to start us off, perhaps you've heard the Packers won on Monday. That feels newsworthy, considering it was the first win in 4 weeks, and that the Packers managed to deliver the Eagles their first home loss of the season in so doing.
I've never mentioned that there is nothing that gives me more pleasure than seeing angry Eagles fans, because they get angry over everything. It is so much fun. With this win, the Packers keep their playoff hopes alive. With the playoff picture as it currently stands, Green Bay has the 10th best record in the NFC, putting them 4 spots out of the wild card conversation, but running the table and beating Detroit in Week 17 would paint quite a different picture.
But for now, we look to Week 13's matchup against the Houston Texans. The Packers head into the game with an injured quarterback. Aaron Rodgers injured his left hamstring on Monday against the Eagles and was designated as limited at practice Wednesday, though that's a bit of a misnomer as the team didn't actually practice today.
Yes. Now, that means we don't have a lot of specific information about where other injured players stand heading into Sunday's game, which, by the way, we really have nothing else that we normally report on other than injured players, so I don't know what else. Anyway, but we do know that per the designations, had the team practiced on Wednesday, Kyle Freckrell, Dimitri Goodson, TJ Lang, and Clay Matthews would not have participated.
It was dismaying to see Clay Matthews struggle with a shoulder injury against the Eagles after the Packers had just gotten him back in the lineup. Matthews, who started at inside linebacker due to Jake Ryan's injury, says he thinks he messed up his AC joint and is, quote, in a little bit of pain. That's not great. Yeah,
very concerning. In other news, defensive tackle Mike Pennell has filed a lawsuit in Ohio against the NFL and the NFLPA for an apparent second violation of the league's substance abuse policy. He has requested that the court put his appeal hearing on hold until another arbitrator is assigned to the case.
For you X's and O's fans out there, there's a new play to watch for in the Packers' future game. On Monday, the Packers ran a triple option play, with Aaron Rodgers opting to keep the ball himself. Mike McCarthy said the play is called Bazooka. Given how much the Packers try and protect Rodgers and given his injured hamstring, we may not see Bazooka again anytime soon.
You know, it's about time the offense catches up with the really cool names for their scheme formations. You know, Dom Capers has been, I don't know, Big O King,
killing
everything
it.
Else. About time. Exactly. Finally,
NASCAR,
if you are feeling
psycho.
There you go. Fired up about the Packers win. You can bet McCarthy is too. The head coach was exuberant in his remarks Tuesday. We expect to win every week, regardless of what people think about us, what they say about us. Personally, I like it when they don't like us. It's hard not to have people like you. Hell, we're the Green Bay Packers. We take that with a lot of pride, and I am not exaggerating how he said it.
Hear, hear, Mike. We agree. And that was your Packers news of the week. Now it's time for your
Packer Tweets from Packer Tweets.
Well, for a little political commentary, we look to our friends at the home of Independence Hall in Philadelphia. Now, apparently, Eagles fans took offense to what they saw as biased refereeing, a common complaint of teams that are losing. But Bleeding Green took it to another level when he said, "The Green Bay Packers are getting away with so much foul play and a win, they could run for president."
They sure could. Well, much ado was made about Aaron Rodgers and the sideline tent and what it could and could not be. What was inside? CBS's Tom Fornelli goes there with his tweet, quote, "Olivia Munn was inside that tent telling Aaron Rodgers who he can and cannot talk to."
Okay, we boo that kind of talk around here. But our friend the Teditorial gives the tent a truly northern Wisconsin flavor as he tweets, "If Aaron Rodgers doesn't come out of that tent with two bass and a walleye, then it wasn't worth it."
Love Wisconsin. In the nerds-only category, the Falcoholic takes us back to the days of World of Warcraft, or if you're a really old nerd, Dungeons & Dragons, when he tweeted, "Aaron Rodgers presumably going into the tent to recover his hit points and magic."
I have no idea what that means, Michelle.
It's because you're not a millennial.
Oh, just twist that knife. But Matt Gelb wins the award for his take on Sam Ponder getting her name wrong, trying to figure out what was going on inside that tent. Chiming in this winner, let's go back to Lisa. Lisa, well, Aaron Rodgers has placed a no girls allowed sign outside the tent. Back to you.
And that was your Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
It's not easy to run a studio and just do a two-man show here. But a lot of buttons to push. I'm going to get some of them wrong once in a while. Anyway.
The Playbook.
Well, ladies and
one.
Gentlemen. Yeah, I did. Thank goodness. I know which button to push there. Well, the tent aside, the Green Bay Packers back on track. Aaron Rodgers gave a little proclamation that most of us rolled our eyes at and said, "You know, I think this team can run the table 6 games straight and sneak into the 6th seed of the playoffs." And we reacted the same way when he said relax and the same way when he said shh, and then it all came true. So with 1 win down out of the 6, the Packers now look to Houston next week, fairly formidable opponent. Do you think the Packers are on the right track, Michelle?
So certainly, I mean, if they hadn't won the game on Monday, it was over, I think. I mean, I don't think there's any way that they keep their playoff hopes alive if they lose that game. That being the case, I think that Packers Twitter and sort of NFL analysts in general have really short memories, because now that the Packers have won a game, everyone is just really back on the bandwagon, and, you know, the Packers can run the table and they can beat the Lions in week 17 and they're going to make the playoffs and they're going to do it. And, you know, I think that the win was great. I also think the Eagles team that we saw was really struggling and at a pretty low point in its season. The Eagles also lost Jordan Matthews pretty early in the game, which really made their offense one-dimensional. So it's not that I'm trying to take anything away from the Packers win. I think it was a beautifully coached game. I think McCarthy was just nailed it with his preparation. And I think that we saw what we wanted to see from Aaron Rodgers, from Davante Adams, pretty much everything except the run game yet again. That being the case, just given how injured this team is and given that we don't have much of a run game right now, thinking of them beating the Texans, the Seahawks, the Bears, the Vikings, and then the Lions when they weren't able to beat the Falcons, the Colts, the Titans, and Washington, I'm not so sure.
Well, you know, and I'll be Mr. Negativity. Well, not negativity. I'll be Mr. Realistic. Philadelphia is a pretty average team. And if you're going to be a playoff team, these are the teams you're supposed to beat and beat handily. And, you know, you're looking to your peers being the elite in the NFL, not a team like Philadelphia, even if they're undefeated at home, which is great. I mean, and don't get anything wrong. It was a good win. It was an impressive win. But these are the games that they're supposed to win. There's some more scary games coming up, but there are also a couple other, you know, Detroit Lions. They're okay. They got the Vikings coming up. They're okay. These are teams they should beat. They could easily be 10-6, but right now they are 5-6, and they are an average team, and one loss out of these six, they're out. They're done. So I think you have a little hope. You get a little excited. You go to the games. You cheer as long as they keep winning. But I think a lot of it is a growth process, and a lot of it is, where is this team heading? I got to tell you one thing, Michelle. If you'd have told me at the beginning of, I don't know, the bye week, that our most valuable player in this game was going to be Davante Adams and our most disappointing player was going to be Clay Matthews, I would have told you you're crazy.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people are kind of getting their karmic retribution for all the kind of hate they've directed in Davante Adams' direction. And look, you know, I mean, I think that we judge it how we call it like we see it, and we judge the product presented to us on the field. 2 years ago, Davante Adams was not a very good receiver. I think that it's totally normal and legitimate that sometimes receivers come into the league and they're not completely polished. They're not ready to jump in and contribute right away, especially if their college scheme doesn't match the scheme they have to learn in the NFL. But I think what we've seen from Davante Adams and what obviously Ted Thompson saw in him when he drafted him is that he had the tools and now he's actually using them and improving. And that's all you really care about at the end of the day is this player continuing on an upward trend. And I'm seeing him be quicker. I'm seeing him come back to the ball. I'm seeing him run his routes appropriately rather than stopping short or getting lost as he seemed to a couple years ago. So, you know, I think that we don't have to apologize for our former criticism of him. I think we can definitely praise him immensely for the strides he's made.
I think at one point I called Davante Adams the Jarrett Bush of offense.
That is the lowest insult.
Davante Adams, I apologize deeply. Now, that's a very big positive. I think we got to talk a little bit about our friend Clay Matthews. Yes, ACL, or not a shoulder injury. It's a, what kind of injury was it again? Gosh.
AC joint. Letter.
AC joint. So the air conditioning is busted. But there was a point where I made a tweet during the game, and I said, you know what? At what point do we start looking at Clay Matthews instead of being this NFL elite linebacker? And he's kind of becoming a bit of a China doll. And he's hurt, he's injured, and I think what was disappointing was just the number of times he was obviously not a part of a play. He just simply wasn't getting there, and I hate to say it, he reminded me of A.J. Hawk, chasing plays, not quite getting there, wasn't quite there. Got in there in a couple, obviously, you know, I was doing okay, but he's not the impact player down in and down out that I think we're used to, that we've wanted to see. The guy's 30 years old. He really should be in his prime, and it looks like he's pretty beat up.
I really do want to attribute it to the injuries, though, because I was saying last week in my, I think it was my Hot Pocket, or 2 weeks ago, that I was frustrated with how people were basically insinuating that, and not saying you are, but just that people were saying that Matthews was, now that he had been paid, he was content to kind of take plays off and just kind of be out there and he, you know, doesn't have any fire and blah, blah, blah. And I think the honest truth is that we've rarely gotten to see a 100% healthy Clay Matthews doing his thing. And what was really kind of encouraging to me, because we had talked about that on the show, was seeing that after he injured that shoulder. And if you saw him after he injured that shoulder, the way he was walking and holding it, like, he looked like Lurch or something. I mean, it was very clearly awkward and, and painful for him. But he mentioned in his comments after the game that it was the type of injury where the decision to go back in was up to the player, and he chose to go back in. And, you know, given how much they're going to need him over this next stretch, maybe that wasn't super smart. On the other hand, the game was in some ways kind of an elimination game, in the sense that if they had lost, their playoff run would have been, you know, very, very, very difficult. So I really applaud him for going back in. I agree with you that I wish he had made a little bit more of an impact. But one thing I really like about him is we've seen that just by virtue of him being on the field, Nick Perry and Julius Pepper seem to do better. And so that's not the role we want from him, but it's a nice kind of silver lining.
Right. And I didn't mean to say that he got paid and
went
down.
No, I know you weren't making that argument, but other people
have. But I do think the injuries, you're right. I think it has played a huge role. It's played a huge thing, and it's impacted his effectiveness at times week in and week out. But you're right, he does come in and he is a big time player, and you'd see the number 52 and you do focus on that. He's impactful as a presence, but I'm hoping he can physically continue to be the impact player that he once was.
Right. So. And it doesn't even have to be, oh, go ahead.
No, you finish up and then we're going to go to our special guest.
Yeah. I was just going to say, to finish, you know, we don't even need necessarily things that show up on the stat sheet from him. I mean, he doesn't have to be getting 2 sacks and 1 forced fumble and, you know, 3 tackles for loss in every game. But there are things he can do to get pressures on the quarterback and to increase the pass rush and to defend the run that don't even show up on the stat sheet that we can just see with the eye test. And so I think that's just kind of what we're looking for a little bit more of.
All right. Well, I think it's time for our special guest. Let's go to it.
Introducing tonight's guest from 105.7 The Fan, Bart Winkler.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Bart Winkler. How are you?
What's up, gang?
Hey, it's me, C.D. Angeli, with Michelle here at live on Cheesehead Radio. Welcome. I think
hey,
this
Bart.
Is the first time we've done the show.
Yeah, I haven't done the show with you guys. Michelle, I've talked to before, but haven't been on with you guys, and I'm thrilled. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I've done your show, but this is the first time you're doing our show.
First of many, let's hope.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and seriously, I followed you on Twitter for years at Wings Thinks, and always admired your posts, so I'm really, really excited to have you here today. So let's start it out with a couple questions. First of all, I love Mike McCarthy today making a very serious statement on how he was very proud of being a part of the Green Bay Packers. Very assertive, slight segue from his previous assertion that he is a successful football coach, which seemed a little defensive at the time. Now suddenly a lot of pride, almost tearful, anger, defiance. Are you feeling a different vibe from this team right now?
Well, just a different vibe from at least Mike McCarthy. I mean, I don't know if he realizes that there could be a change if they don't make the playoffs, or if he's sort of thinking, well, you know, I am a Green Bay Packer. I've been a Green Bay Packer for a decade. I have a street named after me. I won a Super Bowl here. I've been doing this for, you know, 20% of my life, and this is important to me. And I don't know, he might, you know, when you're at a place for a long time, you might start to think about what's next. And I think if Mike McCarthy ever leaves the Packers, it would not be on his own accord. So I think that he knows there's pressure on him. He's hearing it from the fans. It's been tense in that locker room. And yeah, there's a different vibe. I mean, this is the Green Bay Packers. He's right. And for the last 25, 30 years and throughout the history, the 13 championships, you think of Green Bay Packers as title town. Well, this is a team now that was 4-6, okay? They went on the road. They beat a bad Philadelphia team, still a road win. But they're celebrating 5-6, and I don't know if it's because we haven't seen a win in a month, but, I mean, this is about the best that I think a team and a fan base has felt for a win that gets them one game below 500. It's really been remarkable. But there is hope, I think. I know the road ahead of them is tough, but there did seem to be a little bit of sense of hope, and that's refreshing at least.
Definitely. And Al Bracco is with us now. Al, welcome.
Hello.
Jersey Al in the house.
I snuck in the back door. They forgot to lock it, and here I am.
We tried. Can you double lock that next week, Michelle, please?
Yeah, I'll make a note.
All right.
Hey, Bart,
go
welcome
ahead,
to
Al.
The show.
Hey, thanks, Al. Good
great
to be here.
Yep. Hey, listen, I saw you tweet the other day that you were going to go delete every anti-Davante Adams tweet you ever put out there because you were a bit embarrassed. Exactly how anti-Adams were you?
I feel like I hated the guy. I mean,
Did you want him cut?
Davante, you get mad at him because he was missing these easy balls that were right in his hands, but then he would make the most impossible catches. And you judge him when he's a little banged up, as Rodgers noted today, and you're judging him in these preseason games. And I think the expectation on Davante, especially when Jordy got hurt last year, when he got hurt last year, I thought, oh, the Packers will be fine. They have Davante Adams. He'll step up. They have Randall Cobb. He'll be the $10 million receiver that they signed him for. And I think when both of those guys sort of struggled, the heat kind of came on them, and it came more on Davante because, you know, he's not as much of a fan favorite last year as Cobb, and he's younger, and there was that expectation. So this year in training camp, I tweeted one time. I said, you know what? If the Packers have to keep seven receivers and they can sling something for Davante, like a sixth rounder, just do it. I mean, he's dropping whatever. Just do it. I said, if I was a GM, I would do it. I don't think the Packers will, but I might do it. That's why, by the way, I'm not the GM. I'm just an owner. Big difference. So this tweet, I don't know. He had a good game. I don't know who it was against. Maybe the Bears. He has a good game. And then people go on Twitter and they search Davante Adams trade or Davante Adams suck. And they just retweet it. And all of a sudden, here's Davante having a great game. And it looks fresh, you know, when people, they do this to politicians, they do it. It looks fresh. It looked like, even after that game, I still wanted to trade Davante Adams. So it is causing me more trouble than it's worth. He was not living up to expectations then, but what can you say about Davante Adams right now? He has been great, and he shines a light into where the future of the Packers receiving corps could be headed, with Jordy getting older and Randall maybe never being a true number one. So, yeah, everything that I've ever said bad about Davante, he has proven me wrong and proven a lot of us wrong. And the thing about being a Packer fan and rooting for the Packers and talking about the Packers, when you're wrong about somebody, it's a good thing because that means the Packers are doing well. So I'm happy to be wrong in this case.
All right, very good.
Yes, CD and I did our mea culpas with Davante Adams at the top of the show, too. So we've all tried to make right by him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's so fun. Yeah.
So I know you seem to have on Twitter a wager or something going with Chuck about read option plays. And so I wanted to ask what you thought of what Mike McCarthy calls the Packers' bazooka play, which is that triple read option we saw on Monday against the Eagles.
These are read option plays they're running. Are we all in agreement on that?
Absolutely.
Okay, because all I said, the bet came up with my partner. It came up at the beginning of the year. I saw Matt Ryan do one. You saw Andy Dalton do one. And these are not guys that are known as runners. And Rodgers can run, obviously. Without him, without his legs, I don't know where the Packers would even be at 5-6. But I said to him, and this is how this show has been going. I've been doing the show now on The Fan for 3 months as the one of the co-hosts from the producer role. So I'm a co-host now. And what I will do is I'll say something. And I don't know if, like, the audience, It's just so weird. It's really hard to figure out what the audience is expecting, because I say, you know what, I see Dalton and Ryan running these read options. Why can't Rodgers just do it one time? Do it one time, catch a team by surprise, see if it works. And everyone's like, oh my God, are you crazy? We don't want Rodgers to get hurt. How could you even dare, like I killed the Pope or something. How could you even dare say this? And I'm like, well, Rodgers runs anyway. It's one play. Do it near the end zone, whatever. So then they do it for the 2-point conversion, and people are, oh my God, you got it right. And then they do it again, and it's great, and it's this bazooka play, and it's good to see. Really, an expanded playbook from McCarthy was nice the other night. But so Chuck, who I do the show with, no, it's not a true read option. He paid me, but he's being very proud about it.
Yeah, you know, Mike McCarthy came out and he confirmed that it's a read option play called Bazooka. Obviously, it's probably not going to appear in his play call sheet very much, given Rodgers' banged up hamstring, but you know, we all saw it with our own eyes, so you can tell that to Chuck.
Right, it's an option, and he made a read. It's a read option. It's a read option. It looked exactly like every other read option play. Any other Colin Kaepernick runs that play, no doubt it's a read option. But because we have a bet on it, it's got to be a whole thing. I don't get it.
If it walks like a duck.
Yeah, right? Quack, quack.
All right, thank you.
All right. Hey, Aaron Rutkowski, the Ripper, scored his first touchdown by running back this season. The kid seems to be coming into his own. Hopefully he's being used enough as a nice batting ram. We got Christian Michael. I'm waiting for the 500 yards that he gained in Seattle to, like, be gained here. So I guess the question is, without Eddie Lacy, do the Packers really have enough moving parts to survive a playoff game with the run game? And are we using some of these guys in the best way possible?
Well, with Michael, you have the fear that it's going to be another Niall Davis situation where he had five carries to prove what he could do. And Michael, in this season, we've seen success from him. It's not like he was a four-string running back. He was the starting running back for one of the best teams in the NFC, in the league. So we know it's there. It might take him time to get acclimated. I don't know how good of a pass blocker he is. You know, when I watched Seahawks football and when I watched Christian Michael early in the season, it was for fantasy purposes. I wasn't scouting his, blocking tendencies. I was checking to see if he scored. And James Starks right now, he's been here for a long time. You know, he can protect Rodgers probably better than anybody in that backfield. So you're going to see him. This Ty Montgomery experiment, that was looking like it could be something. And then I think because of the pass blocking and when Starks came back, you have to bring him in and protect the quarterback. Obviously, very important now with Rodgers banged up a little bit with the hamstring. I'd like to see them use Michael more. I'd like to see him use him more early. And it almost appears like it's going to be desperation before they use him. It appeared that way with Niall. I liked how Don Jackson was running and the few plays that he got. So I wanted to see him a little more. But when Stark starts these games, it's almost like he's got to screw up before they take him out. I'd like to see Michael, if you're worried about the pass blocking and protecting him late, run Michael a little bit in the first quarter, second quarter. Run him on plays where you're going to run. I mean, tell the defense you're going to run, that's fine, but at least get his legs moving a little bit and see if you can do something. I mean, the running game is going to bite them if they go into the playoffs or far. You need a running game, but I don't know. They're 5-6, and I'm happy they're 5-6, so I don't know how long a running game. I'm worried about beating an AFC South team at home, which apparently we can't do.
And the thing is, we'll find out, but the thing that gets me is I just sit there and I think, boy, you got this kind of a light scat back. I wouldn't say scat back, but obviously a light runner like Christian Michael. And you got Rutkowski, who's really kind of coming. And yet we're doing all of these read option, triple options, running our wide receivers, out of those types of options. Don't you think just maybe setting those two up in the eye and just running it at people, give that a shot?
Yeah. I mean, what I want to see from McCarthy is I want to see creativity from him. And I want to see him utilize guys in the best possible spot. So when he does do three guys in the backfield, who should that be? It should probably be, let's say, Starks, Michael, and Rutkowski. Or maybe Montgomery and Michael and Starks or something. But when he puts three guys in the backfield and two are receivers, it's like, well, that's odd. Roger said it today. He said, Rutkowski's been great, but he never knows what the game plan is. What do you prepare for? He doesn't know when he's going to come in. He'll be in for a drive. Early in the season, there were games where he went almost a whole half without getting in. So he has made the most of his opportunities. I thought they might get to the point where he might have to be the feature guy. I keep referencing Matt Bernstein from the Badgers in like 2004. He was a fullback, ran for 100 yards against Penn State. I thought Ripper could maybe have that kind of night in him, but doesn't look like we'll see that. Hey, he's got good pass-catching abilities. They're using him out of the backfield a little bit. It's taken this team a long time to figure out who best goes where, and injury is a big part of that. You forget that this is – you do forget in this season, Eddie Lacy has about 300 yards. I mean, that happened this season. It's hard to remember that.
Exactly. Al, you're up.
Yes, all right. Well, you touched a little bit on McCarthy and creativity, so that's a perfect lead-in to my next question. McCarthy loves to say that he's got enough plays to call three games on any given game. Of course, it's always driven me crazy that he always seems to prefer the same subset of plays. It took real desperation mode for him to find those lost pages of the playbook, which I readily admit he did a great job of. We saw more creativity in this game than I think in the entire season combined. Does this frustrate you as much as it does me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that Viking game, I went back and watched the Viking game when they lost on Sunday night. And they're just, it's as simple as not even putting a guy in motion. I think they went a whole half without putting a guy in motion, or maybe one time. And I'm not talking like taking a guy from one side of the field to the other. The one motion play, I think it was the second half, maybe the first. It was one of the two halves. One of the receivers runs in and then runs out. Doesn't really do anything. There's no point to it. When you just sit there and show the formation, the defense can just focus on the task at hand. They don't have to account for any moving parts. They don't have to plan for something they maybe didn't plan for. And it's like you're showing the other team. It was like they were being vanilla in the first month and they were running a preseason offense like they were saving the rest of the stuff for later. You know, Mike McCarthy gets a lot of criticism for being too conservative when he's got a lead. Some of that may be he's got a big playbook and he doesn't want to reveal all his secrets. Like, what's the point in running that triple option when you're, you know, up against the Bears 20 points? There is none. But when you need a victory, that's when you want to put it out, so you don't want to waste it. The creativity thing has bothered me. They've got, we're talking about all these receivers, how good they are with the tight end situation, Jared Cook, you know, and then they don't use these guys. And it's like, well, you have the tools to be the best offense in the league with this quarterback. Do it. Just do it. Now is not the time to save stuff for later. I never like when people save things for later. If you guys play fantasy football, we do, you know, when there's free agent bidding, you get $100 throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I'm in this league, everybody saves their money and saves their money. They never spend it. And then the end of the season comes and everyone's got $100 still because everyone's saved. Don't save things. Use it when you need to use it and get the victories and worry about next week. That's the way I've always thought. I loved when McCarthy went for the kill fourth quarter. They chewed a punt and went on a 4th-and-5. Do stuff like that. Don't save your whole playbook for later. Do what you need to do to get the win now. That's where I come from.
Gotcha.
That's a great segue into the next question I was going to ask you, which is I wanted to talk a little bit more specifically about Jared Cook with you. Obviously, the Packers are still looking for those big plays from their tight ends. Richard Rodgers isn't really doing it. And Jared Cook has gotten involved, but his hands, which were a really big question when the Packers signed him, still appear to be something of a problem. Do you think he can pick it up in the next few weeks and kind of be the spark that the Packers offense needs heading into their potential playoff run?
It looked like it a couple of weeks ago. It really looked like it. And then he fumbled that one late. And then you saw the almost fumble on Monday night against the Eagles that got called back. That you're going to lose trust out of your quarterback very quickly if you do that. Jared Cook has always sort of been a guy that there's been a lot of expectations for and then wasn't able to live up to him. And you can always say, well, it was on his quarterback. It was on guys like Rusty Smith and Nick Foles or whoever. And when Jared Cook first signed with the Packers, we were so excited at the radio station because, hey, there's a free agent. One, that never happens. Two, we had nothing to talk about that day. I remember that day. We had nothing to talk about. And they signed Jared Cook, thank God. And so we're looking for highlights of Jared Cook, and I type in Jared Cook highlights on YouTube, and like the first 8 things that came up were Jared Cook drops sure touchdown in end zone, Jared Cook crucial fumble. So the highlights we were playing all morning were him dropping the ball and him fumbling, and people were so mad. Oh, this is a big free agent. Why are you guys all mad about a free agent signing? But those were the plays that sort of defined Jared Cook a little bit, and the quarterback blame, you can't do that anymore. You've got Aaron Rodgers. If he drops another one or if he fumbles another one, what can you do? You can't trust the guy. He does seem to be their best deep option, perhaps, right now, so you need him. You're not going to get to the playoffs and then win a playoff game maybe more without Jared Cook being the Jared Cook that we want him to be. And I think what that is JerMichael Finley. You got to hang on to the football if you're going to be that guy. So I'm a little concerned, but we'll see what happens again on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Bart, Clay Matthews, there's a topic right there. He threw some shade at Alan Barber for a classified it as a cheap shot that injured his shoulder. Let's talk about Clay for a second. I mean, you know, maybe the hit itself, which, you know, I'm sure Eagles fans love seeing, whether it was legal or block in the back. Is this guy still considered an NFL elite linebacker? Or has this constant slide of injuries just making him a level above A.J. Hawk?
Ooh, yikes.
I didn't say Jared Bush.
You know, he...
Come on.
That was nasty.
Jared Bush making plays. he was back on the inside a little, and there was a little more explosiveness from him on Monday against Philly. The thing with Clay is you want to knock Clay because he misses games, and then when he misses these games, where's Nick Perry? Where's Julius Peppers? These guys that are having some sort of semblance of a good season. I mean, Nick Perry, we're talking Pro Bowl first 4 weeks, then he loses Clay Matthews, and then he doesn't do much. So Clay Matthews, if he's for nothing else a decoy, he makes that defense better by being out there. He had a decent night the other night. But what do you think of? I think it's to the point where Packer fans, what do you think of when you think of Clay Matthews at this point? Every time he comes up limping, you picture the Seattle game, NFC Championship. They need him on that final drive. He's not there. I think that resonates with a lot of people about what kind of player Clay Matthews is. Unreliable, missing games, saying all week he'll play, then not playing. I think that is the issue. I think he's still a top player. He's not an elite. I'm sure you could scratch him into the Pro Bowl because, you know, once you're in once, you get voted in forever. Ask any offensive lineman. Once you're in once and you have a little name recognition, you're in the Pro Bowl forever. Or like Mike Allstott. Was that it? Mike Allstott, right? Why do I want to say John?
Yeah.
Mike Allstott. Yeah, once you're in fullback, once you're in once, you're in forever. So Clay, on name recognition alone, but he's not an elite player, but he makes that defense better just by being out there. But still, he's got to be out there. And the injury concerns, I think, have grown tired on many Packer fans.
All right. Al?
Yeah, Bart, let's look ahead a little bit here, right? We've had 11 games, basically, to evaluate this Packers team and the personnel and the positional depth. If the NFL draft were tomorrow, what would you be looking at as your primary positions of need for this team?
Well, a lot of people keep tweeting us about Leonard Fournette and running back, and that might be a good area to start. I don't know if Eddie Lacy comes back. You might be able to get him cheap now with the injury, and this is a big contract year for him, but I'm not sure the Packers want him. It always seemed like they took Eddie Lacy because they almost had to, and they never figured out a way to use him correctly. The most ideal back might be like James Starks, only like a better James Starks, like Super Bowl 2010 James Starks might be the ideal back for this team. Because you get a bruiser, yeah, you want him in the fourth quarter, but it seemed at times bringing in Eddie Lacy would slow down the offense. So as long as they have Rodgers, I'm not sure that they want to go that route. A running back, though, I think, depth anywhere, middle linebacker. I know Ted Thompson doesn't believe in that, but clearly you can't be playing Morgan Burnett at inside linebacker and Joe Thomas. Secondary help, anything? Anything but punter. How about Jake Shum lately? Not bad. Anything but punter, I'll say.
All right. Michelle?
All right. You have been listening to Bart Winkler of 105.7 FM, The Fan. Bart, thank you so much for being with us tonight. We just have one more question for you. So week 17, the Lions, basically become something of a playoff game in and of itself, unless one of these teams just totally loses out the rest of the season and makes it a non-issue. But, you know, assuming that the Packers and Detroit kind of keep going the way they have been, this game could really hold basically the key to the playoffs for one of these teams. So, you know, thinking about the last time these two teams met in week three, the Lions were in the midst of a 3-game losing streak, whereas the Packers, who won that first game, had a 3-game winning streak, and then they lost one, but that they were doing okay. So after those two teams met, the Lions then went on to win 3 in a row, lost one, and then won 3 more in a row. And as we know, the Packers went on to a 4-game losing streak. And the point of all this is that I think the Packers and Lions now are pretty different teams than they were when they met in week three. Do you think this Packers team is built to be able to defeat the Lions if they have to?
I think most people would say yeah, but this is a Lions team that is a lot of people, you know, you think 0-16 when you think of the Lions. You think this history of failing in the playoffs. You think Barry Sanders leaving the team early, and same with Calvin Johnson. I predicted the Lions to win that game when it happened because of the way the Packers were playing at the time and with Matt Stafford. Now, clearly the Packers won. We remember that. But the Lions came back, and Matt Stafford is a better quarterback than at least Packer fans will give him credit for. I think we just like to just talk poorly about the other teams because it's fun to make fun of them. Like, I always thought Jay Cutler was a little bit better than Packer, well, a lot better than Packer fans gave him credit for. Yes, he's had his mistakes, but he's, you know, a capable NFL talent. Matt Stafford had a stat line of like 21 touchdowns, 3 interceptions under Jim Bob Cooter, the new offensive coordinator, when they came into that game against Green Bay. He's sort of figured it out with that team. And they've got running back issues too, but they've got weapons and Stafford's utilizing them. The game against Minnesota again, where they came back and won. And that was partly because of their defense and Matt Stafford and the weapons. The Lions are not a team to dismiss. They should have been a playoff team last year. They got screwed in Seattle, and then the Packers beat them in a Hail Mary. Otherwise, they'd be 9-7, and they would have been in there. And I think it's more likely that they'll win the North than Green Bay. It's basically a one-game lead because the two teams play again. Packers have the tiebreaker. Detroit's schedule is much tougher than Green Bay's, but you can't take any of that into consideration because Green Bay, they've had teams that they're supposed to beat, and they can't beat them. I mean, losing to the Colts and Titans back-to-back, nobody had them losing either of those games before the season, let alone back-to-back. I was just looking at Vegas odds, coincidentally, today because that's a vice I have, and the Packers' odds to win the Super Bowl are better than Detroit. But Detroit's odds to win the NFC North are still better than the Packers, so I don't know how that would even play out. If I had to put money on it today, I would put it on the Lions to win the North. I think because the Packers won, you know, we look ahead to the schedule, we're all pretty excited, but I think a lot of us have jumped to Week 17 already, and when we're thinking, okay, well, that Packer fans love games getting flexed. Okay, that game's already flexed. That game's already flexed. Week 17 already flexed. We got to beat the Texans first. I want to know if we have a team that can match up against the Texans. I do think Detroit right now is a better team than Green Bay. If Green Bay gets to that game with 4 or 5 wins under their belt or whatever they need, then at that time you would expect Green Bay to be better than Detroit. So, man, I don't know. This year, the underdog, it's kind of tempting to put some money on Detroit, I'll be honest.
You do have a very informed perspective from which to do so.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking with Bart Winkler. He of 105.7 FM, The Fan. And if you're in the Green Bay area, tune on in. I do every morning. You can hear Bart with his good friend Chuck Friedman every morning from 6 to 10. Fantastic having you on the show today, Bart. And as I said at the top of the interview, I've been following you for years, and it's really a pleasure to finally talk to you in person.
Well, likewise with you, Michelle, and Al. I mean, you guys were – I was very reluctant to join Twitter back when it started, and then I finally got on in 2011, and you guys are some of the first people that I found. So nice to talk to you as well, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Absolutely. Keep on keeping on, my friend, and go Pack, go.
Go Pack. See you guys.
Thanks,
all right.
Bart.
Hey, Bart. Later, Bart. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
All right. Al, good to have you join us.
Sorry, I was muted there. My headphones falling. They're falling apart.
And you're a little ill.
I'm muting myself because I have a cold. My headphones are falling off. It's like, well, I'm a mess. I'm a mess today.
Jersey Al, the hot mess. Who would have thought?
That's right, but I am here.
All right.
How we
well, doing? As you can probably guess what time it is, it's time to get to this week's
Hot Pocket.
All right. Jersey Al, you're going to kick it off before you have a coughing fit. Hurry up.
Yeah, okay. I have questions, okay? And they're all related to the tent. I call it the magic tent, okay?
Magic
you go
tent.
In there, some kind of magic happens, and you come out, right? Like, where did this magic tent come from? Why have we never seen it before? What's in the tent? Is it a non-smoking tent? Is there meal served in the tent? Is any player allowed in the tent? I want answers. I want somebody to investigate this. I need answers about the tent. Can we take a tour of the tent? You know, can it be part of the Lambeau Field tour?
I'll
think
charge
that
you
would
extra
be great.
For that.
Anyway, that's
is
my
it bigger
hot
on the inside than it is on the out? That would be kind of impressive.
That's right.
Like the TARDIS.
Yeah. Is there a trap? Is there a trap door, and does it lead somewhere?
Could be a TARDIS,
right,
or like the camping tents in Harry Potter. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
And we just nerded ourselves, Michelle. Way to go. Speaking of the tent, I forgot. After every one of these, we have to say...
Hot Pocket!
There you go.
Catch an eye.
Better.
Speaking of the tent, I'll take my Hot Pocket next. I know it was suggested on Twitter at one point we should have put our entire defensive squad into the tent and then left it in Philadelphia. I'm not suggesting that, but yeah, the defense has been very underwhelming this year. But I just wanted to give a shout out to my boy, Haha Clinton Dix. He hasn't been spectacular. I don't know if he's been a game changer, but let's just say that his interception on Monday night did kind of change the tone of the game. He showed up, made a nice pick, and how many times have we said week after week after week, we got to get some turnovers, got to get some turnovers? Well, we got one, and I think that changed the tone of the game. He's got three on the year. This is a guy that I petitioned for to be drafted, and I've learned my lesson usually not to do that because I'm usually wrong. But I think we hit on this one. I think he's a good kid. I think as this defense strengthens in front of him, he's going to get better and better. So, haha, way to go, my friend. And that is my... Hang on.
Hot Pocket! You're going to cut that delay time by a couple seconds.
This is going to be a 20-minute show by the time we're done.
All right.
Michelle, you're up.
Well, my Hot Pocket is the inside linebackers. As we know, Jake Ryan is out, and now Clay Matthews is dealing with an AC joint injury that he suffered Monday against the Eagles. And so I think that the way for the Packers to win this game against the Texans is basically to stop them on the ground. Now, Lamar Miller did hurt his ankle in week 12, but it sounds like he's going to be fine and that he'll play. And if he keeps on the way he has been, I'm not sure the Packers can stop him and the Texans run game with the front seven being in the condition that it's been in. So that's kind of my hot pocket key to watch for the game this week is how does that front seven stack up against the Texans run game.
Hot pocket.
Not as funny anymore, is it?
Just expected now.
Oh, no, I still love it.
Okay. Well, speaking of a hot pocket, we are going to have a bonus hot pocket this week. Al Bracco, what do you got special for us this week?
Well, not really a hot pocket, but hey, I just wanted to to talk a little bit about the GoFundMe campaign that we set up for Adam Cech, who's a writer over at Cheesehead TV. As of this particular moment, we are at an unbelievable tally of $33,613.
That is amazing.
Amazing.
Isn't that incredible? Education fund for his children, and also to fulfill a promise to take them to a game at Lambeau Field when they are old enough. They're very young right now. But so fantastic job, you know, by everybody out there. It's not just Packer fans, you know, it's friends, church groups, you know, anybody who had come in contact with Adam all knew what kind of a great guy he was. And I also want to give a quick shout out to some players who I've been harassing and stalking players and asking them to retweet the link. And I got a bunch to actually do it, so I just want to mention their names here and give an official public thank you to them. TJ Lang actually did it twice. Clay Matthews, which is a big one. I mean, you're talking a million followers there, right? Brian Belaga, Ty Montgomery, my favorite Packer, Mason Crosby. CD's favorite Packer, Clinton Dix.
Woo-hoo.
Devin Kajust, if that's how you pronounce his name, I'm not sure. The tight end wide receiver on the practice squad, and Kyle Murphy. So far, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Green Bay Packers I've gotten to retweet.
I think we have good taste in favorite players, Al. What do you think?
I guess so, right? And three of them actually are Stanford players. I'm working on the fourth one, Blake Martinez. I got to get him in. So I'm still stalking players, so I'm still probably all going to block me at some point. But in any case, just great job, everybody out there. The GoFundMe is going to be out there for a long time still. You know, if you go to GoFundMe, just search for Adams Pack. GoFundMe.com/AdamsPack If you want to donate something, you know, any amount is appreciated. So that was my bonus, not so hot pocket.
All right. Let's get to this week's game predictions.
Cheesehead Radio, Packers game predictions.
Well, if we're going to run the table, we're only one game out of six. Like Mr. Winkler said, I think we need to take this one game at a time, and our next one is at noon on Sunday as the Green Bay Packers return to Lambeau Field hosting the Houston Texans. How do we think this game is going to turn out? Michelle, we'll start with you.
All right, so I previewed this a little bit in my Hot Pocket, but the Packers caught the Eagles at just the right time. Well, not to take anything away from their much-needed win, but you know, this is an Eagles team that was beatable. But the Texans are sitting atop the AFC South and are fifth in the league in rushing, thanks to Lamar Miller. However, Houston's standing suggests that the team is better than it really is. I mean, they have a lot of issues, too, just so does the rest of the AFC South. So if the Packers can take away the run game, I think that they can definitely outscore this squad enough to win. So I'm saying Packers 24, Texans 20.
All right. So one of us picking a Packer win. Jersey Al, what do you say?
Well, the Texans could only manage 13 points at home last week against the Chargers, a team that has given up more passing yards and total yards than the Packers. Yes, there are teams that have given up more yards than the Packers. Not many, but Chargers are one of them. So to me, it's deja vu all over again. As the Packers' defense finds an offense it can handle, and Rodgers takes care of the rest. Packers 24, Texans 16.
All right, and I am CeeDee Angeli, and I am going to be the negative Nelly this week. I guess I'm not a true fan. I think Philly rolled over for us. I don't think the Texans will. I think they got something to play for this week, clearly. Lambeau needs to be loud and proud this Sunday. I'm going to say Texans 28, Packers 20, but I sure hope I am wrong. But I just got a nicky feeling on this one. Well, yeah, you never boot Michelle when she picks against him. What is up?
Yeah, you're saving me from having to be the negative Nancy this week, so I thank you.
She's very appreciative, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yes. I'm actually hoping to get to the game this weekend. I have a little family friend, a little second grade girl named Audrey, who's going to be participating in the run pass or run kick pass, one run pass and kick.
Oh yeah, that's this game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. She's one
you
of
have
the three finalists. Not yet.
Thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, and thank you to our special guest Bart Winkler. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com, where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like the Packers Talk page on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. You can also listen by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatching app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's a wrap. Go Pack, go!
Michelle, great job on your first outro.
My debut.
Wonderful. All right, Packer fans, thank you so much for joining us. We will talk to you next week after that Packer win that Al and Michelle predicted. Till then, good night and go Pack go.
Good night.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming. I'm loud! Roar!
GEICO makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on GEICO.com or the GEICO mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
Danny, I just figured out that if I switch to Metro PCS, I get two Samsung Galaxy phones free.
Cool, Dad.
And I could be a super dad with two free Samsung Galaxy phones and call myself Double Galaxy Man.
Or you could give the second phone to your sidekick.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
That's right. Two free Samsung Galaxy On5 smartphones are all yours when you switch to Metro PCS. Metro PCS. Wireless figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.